Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrne, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrne Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. The beginning of the holiday season brought me an unexpected gift. After waiting so long that I began to think of the event as something akin to the second coming or the rapture, I finally got DSL. Getting this had been such an ongoing, energy-intense struggle for me that when it finally happened, I think it took a lot of people by surprise. But I do have it, and so far it seems to be working beautifully. And I'm getting used to the changes it's going to make in my life. A lot of people have said to me how wonderful it will be when I get DSL because I can start sleeping in the morning and staying up later at night. But I've been doing the early rise thing for so many years in response to my dial-up connection that I'm not sure I'm going to change it. Not just because I'm an old dog who finds it difficult to learn new tricks, but also because I've had some great experiences in the wee hours of the morning. No matter how hot it is during the days of summer, when I take the dogs out, usually between 3 and 3:30 in the morning, it's cool, it's clean. There's a freshness to everything. In the winter when I take them out, the main event is stars. Incredible stars, so many of them that look so close, I feel like I could reach up and touch them. And then there have been the animal experiences. Twice I've surprised bears at my bird feeder. On one of those occasions, the bear was in my front yard and I was outside with the dogs before I even realized he was there. And he realized I was there. But my dog, and back then I had Violet, my corgi, she took off after him like a flash, and he shot up the hill. But in doing so, had the courtesy to somehow leap and get that ungainly bulk of his over the flower beds that line each side of my front walk. And I was grateful to him for doing that. And I was even more grateful when Violet felt obligated only to drive him as far as the stone wall. As soon as he cleared that, she came trotting back to me. There was another incident when I was out there and there were no lights on in the house and the dogs were out there doing their doggy thing. And all of a sudden I heard what I swear was a pack of wolves howling. Often when people describe hearing this, they talk about how the hair stands up on the back of their necks and how the sound seems to surround them. It just seems to be coming from everywhere at once. And that was exactly my experience. But I live in New Hampshire, for heaven's sakes. We don't have wolves. We're certainly not enough, to my knowledge, to form a pack that would be relaxed enough that they would howl. Besides that, I'd never heard it before, and once I heard it, I never heard it again. But then I recalled that at that time, not too far away from me, was a couple who were running a rescue group for wolf hybrids. So I told myself that perhaps atmospheric conditions were such that when those wolf hybrids howled, the sound somehow carried down the narrow river valley, and I was able to hear it. But then the town asked the wolf hybrid people to move on because they were getting tired of the reports of the animals that had broken free. And it wasn't a case of people just saying these animals were getting out. It turned out, yeah, they really were. So maybe the wolf hybrids were a lot closer than I thought they were. If they were, as far as I'm concerned, it was worth it. It used to be a standard thing for me when I went out with the dogs at that time in the morning to watch the bats returning to the woods after a night of feeding on insects and particularly mosquitoes, for which I was very grateful. But then as white-nosed disease moved into the area, there were fewer and fewer bats, But still I watch for them. And occasionally I see one. And I keep hoping that with each passing year there will be more and more, as those who somehow manage to survive the disease pass on their immunity to their offspring, until the same number will fly over me at that time in the morning, provided I'm awake to see it. And I think I will be. I think I will be, because even though I consider a high-speed internet connection a great gift, I consider the world around my little house here on the hill at that hour of the morning, the gift of silence, the gift of that wild animal life, the gift of those times just standing there with the dogs and the cat and looking up at the sky and all those stars. That's a gift I don't want to give up, and I don't think I have to.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.